And so a different teacher each and every week will be leading us in our children's story. Mrs. Suman was willing to bat leadoff. She's a first grade teacher at Bellevue Elementary School, and she's going to read a story for us that leads into our sermon time today. So, Shauna, if you would.
Thank you. Boys and girls, are you having a good summer so far? Yeah? All right, well, thank you for coming up here and reading this story with me today. Give me a thumbs up if you're going to be great listeners. I knew it. Good job. All right, well, like he said, it's called The Giving Tree, and the author is Shel Silverstein. And I think that's kind of a fun name, don't you, Shel Silverstein? All right, well, let's go ahead and open it up and see what happens in The Giving Tree. Once there was a tree. And she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come. And he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much. And the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older. And the tree was often alone. Then one day the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in my shade and be happy." "I am too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money. Can you give me some money?" "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I only have leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you will have money and you will be happy." And so the boy climbed up the tree and gathered her apples and carried them away. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy, and she said, "Come, boy, climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and be happy." "I'm too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm," he said. "I want a wife and I want children, and so I need a house. Can you give me a house?" "I have no house," said the tree. "The forest is my house, but you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you will be happy." And so the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build his house. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time. And when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered, "come and play." "I'm too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat?" cut down my trunk and make a boat, said the tree. Then you can sail away and be happy. And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away. And the tree was happy, but not really. And after a long time, the boy came back again. I'm sorry, boy, said the tree, but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak for apples, said the boy. My branches are gone, said the tree. You cannot swing on them. I'm too old to swing on branches, said the boy. My trunk is gone, said the tree. You cannot climb. I'm too tired to climb, said the boy. I am sorry, sighed the tree. I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I'm just an old stump. I'm sorry. I don't need very much now, said the boy. Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I'm very tired. Well, said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could. Well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down and rest. And the boy did. And the tree was happy. The end. Good job.
Oh, you can give a round of applause. Thank you, Mrs. Suman.
Wow,
thank you.
You did great.
Boys and girls, I have a few questions for you. Like I said, the parents are going to sit through the sermon today, but you'll hear some of the other children's books that we're going to talk about in Big Church in a moment. But this book that Mrs. Suman, it's called The Giving Tree. Who were the two main characters in The Giving Tree?
The boy and the tree.
It's a book about a boy and a tree. What of those characters was said to be happy in the book? Was it the boy or was it the tree? Harper? The tree was happy, but the boy was the one that kept getting the stuff, right? The tree kept giving, the boy kept receiving, but it was the tree that was the one that was happy at the end, not the boy that had all the stuff. Interesting, interesting. Did you notice that Mrs. Suman kept saying throughout the story, the boy, the boy, the boy? Even though on that last page, did the boy look like a little boy?
Nope.
What was happening to the little boy?
He was growing
and getting older and older, but he kept being referred to as the boy, the boy, the boy. It was like he was aging, but he wasn't maturing. Did you know there's a way to get older and still not any wiser? The boy seemed to be doing that in the story, right? He kept getting stuff and wanting stuff, but never giving stuff, and he was always stuck in that childhood state of being the boy. Instead of a mature, wise man. We're going to talk more about that in sermon time for big boys and big girls there. But at this time, we're going to dismiss you for Wiggly Worship. It's the last Wiggly Worship for the summertime. We're going to move to Wiggly Wednesdays for those of you that are school age. Mrs. Jumps in the back waiting for those that would be Wiggly Worship. And reminder for the...
Start spreading the news. Beginning today, a new sermon series, Broadway, Broadway. So make it here all summer year. You'll wanna be a part of it, Bible Broadway.
It's summertime, and that has become a video of summer lore around these neck of the woods. If you know summertime around this church, we are serious and committed year-round to the story, the Bible, the Word of God. In summertime, we take a backdoor approach to enter into the biblical story. It's always about the Bible, but some of the ways that we enter the Bible is a little bit different with summertime. And so that was from a couple summers back, the Bible in Broadway, where we did Broadway shows as teaching us biblical lessons. Last summer, it was Taylor Swift tunes as we listened to some of those songs leading into Scripture. We've talked roller coasters at Cedar Point. We've talked the sport of baseball. We've talked famous artwork, all to get us back around to what's God's word say, because God is speaking in a variety of vistas. If we're listening carefully in some of those truths, all truth is ultimately God's truth. It can lead us to the one that's the way, the truth, and the life. And some of those truths can lead us back closer to the one who's the way, the truth, and the life. This summer, we're going to do that yet again, this time only with children's books in mind. Children's books to lead us to the book that is the Bible. So I had one graduate this past year, though not from 12th grade, like Jeremiah and Jesse and our six others connected to the congregation. My fourth child, Janella, graduated kindergarten this year. And every year that I've had one walk across the kindergarten stage, the principal at the school that my kids attend, which we won't say her name until later on in the sermon series, okay? The principal at the school that my kids attend every year for the graduation ceremony always tells the parents to read to your children. Read, read, read. She describes it like putting gold in, depositing gold in your young ones that will increase tenfold if we read to our kids. It's just an important attribute to extend our kids' way, to read, read, read. And so I hear that echo on my mind from this past Friday's graduation ceremony. Couple that with some little flashbacks of who I am as a pastor in person. I remember as a young child, summer times meant Reading Rainbow on PBS. Some of you are familiar with what Reading Rainbow and teaching kids through reading through the TV. I remember signing up at the library for different reading programs. And so couple all of that together with where we're headed today in the weeks to come of summertime with reading. Reading and summertime, summer stories that will be children's books leading us in to the book together. And you heard a moment ago, Mrs. Suman, one of our first grade teachers at Bellevue Elementary, read The Giving Tree for us. How many were familiar with The Giving Tree? It's been read to you or from you at a different stage in life. Familiar with The Giving Tree itself. The Giving Tree, personally speaking, was not my like number one favorite children's book as a kid. I remember it being like just too black and white. I wanted pictures with colors and entertainment. The Giving Tree is black and white. It's a slow-moving story that truthfully I didn't appreciate very fully until about 2 months back. I found myself reading that book to Joy, our youngest daughter, and I found that book grip me in a different way than what it did as a kid. It teaches about the ages and stages of life. And so maybe I had more of those ages and stages at life at that point reading it to my daughter. It talked about giving and the sacrificial nature of giving. It talked about happiness. And true happiness at the end is found in the most unlikely character. Not the character who received all, but the character who gave all was the one at the end of the book that said was truly happy. It did something. And so I share this story as a part of our leading into the story together. Did you pick up on the plot line as Mrs. Suman was reading it? And maybe you were following along on the screen. It's a story about a boy and a tree, hence the giving tree. But the boy is always called the boy throughout the gamut of the book. We're introduced to him as a boy. But we expect him later on as an elderly person sitting on the tree stump to be referred to as something else, right? He's still referred to as the boy. And through this journey of life, he started off happy, enjoying a mutual relationship with the tree. They played in the leaves, right? Ate the apples together, swing, played hide and seek, all those different things. It was a mutual relationship, and both seemed to be happy those opening pages. But through time, only one of them continued the happiness. The other fell outside of that happiness, right? It starts by the boy's request. As he gets older, he wants money. And the tree says, I don't have money to give, but I have apples to give. You can have my apples, sell the apples, and then you'll have money. And the boy does that. Never described as being happy, but he does that, right? He gets money. Next vista, he wants a different stage in life. Family, house, kids. Goes to the tree to get those things. The tree says, I don't have those things to give, but you can have my branches. Tree's described as happy. Boy, happy? No. Next stage, we want leisure. We want entertainment. We want the boat, right? Tree, once again, I don't have the boat to give, but the tree gives the trunk. One of them's described as happy there. Do you remember which one? Sort of, right? Mrs. Suman got us with that punchline. The tree was happy, .. but not really. Because sometimes sacrifice hurts, right? Like happiness isn't always, you know, deeper than the skin sometimes. And the tree is feeling the pinch of the sacrificial lifestyle because sometimes sacrifice does hurt. The tree was happy, but .. not really. That segues to the very closing comments of the book, though. Tree's got nothing left to give, it thinks. The boy wants nothing except a place to sit. And the tree says, I can give that still. And it says in the closing lines, right before the end, there was one that was said to be happy at the end of the book. The tree or the boy? Class vote, let's see reading comprehension. Who says the tree? Who says the boy? Going back to high school, huh? It was the tree. The tree that gave all was the one that found lasting happiness in the last pages. The boy who got whatever he wanted did not find what he wanted to lead to that, what he most wanted. There really is a life lesson in there, isn't there, adults? Sometimes we can get everything we ask for and not get the main thing that we really need. Catching that? Like sometimes we can get everything we ask for, and yet what we ask for not lead us to that which we most desire or need or dream of. The boy had everything he asked for. He had money. He had house. He had boats. He had nothing at the end. Just the end, right? The tree gave and gave and gave and gave and found true lasting happiness. Is there a life lesson in all that for us, church? Does that book tell us something about that self-giving nature and the gateway to eternal happiness? Because I'm pretty sure there's the words of Jesus somewhere in the giving tree about loving God and loving people leading to life-giving happiness, eternal life in the Father's presence. I think there's a life lesson somewhere in this giving tree for all of us and what true maturation looks like. The boy was always called the boy through the book. He got older, he didn't get any wiser. We can age through life with missing the main point in life. Scary thought. Let it not be so said of us. Right, church? Let it not be said so of us. And so let's open the book and hear from the giver of life some teachings on life so that we mature through life and are led further and deeper in life. The first passage we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 16. As you get your Bibles open there, just want to say a couple remarks that might pigeon me as a dinosaur for a moment. They're aimed at our graduates, so Jeremiah, this one's for you, huh? But it really can be said of all of us, the world that we live in and the stages that we're at in life. I realize our graduates are the generation that learned how to swipe before they even learned how to say dada, right? We are at that age and stage of human history that the generation growing up has always been aware of technology. It's been their close companion. It's been on the screen right before them. The iPhone era is this generation. The warning in all this iPhone generation is it overemphasizes the I, right? In the I era, it makes I, the individual, the center of it all. And so playlists, they cater to us. The algorithm, it's figured us out, what we like, and it caters accordingly. This is the world that we live in. This is the air that we breathe. It's about me. And so the mantra is at graduation ceremonies, you do you, because it's all about you. This is living like the boy. The more we become self-focused, the more and more life comes out of focus. You want me to repeat that one so you can write it down? The more and more we become self-focused, the more and more life gets out of focus. This me, 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 this it's all about I'm the center of the universe, is not in that book. There's one who made the universe, who's at the center of the universe. His throne sits still. It's not you. And so the algorithm may have figured you out, but the Almighty remains on the center of it all. And the sooner that we learn this, the closer we are to true lasting happiness. Here's the weird thing about life. The more and more that we look inside as if that we are the unlocker of eternal happiness, the more and more we keep looking inward, self-focused, self-absorbed, like the boy in the story. The more we turn to self, the darker and more depressing it gets. The darker and more depressing. The way to the light is outward, not inward, correct? The way to the light is outward. And so when Jesus says what life's all about is to love God and love people, he was leading you to where the lasting happiness in life is found. And it's not found in me, 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 me. It's not found in the algorithm. It's found in the Almighty. It's found in loving God and loving people. Graduates and senior citizens alike, listen, listen good. The way to the life that you most want, and I'm not going to say it's not going to hurt getting there, right? The giving tree had those moments too, where giving hurt. I'm not going to say it's not going to hurt getting there, but the way to lasting happiness is not you turning, you doing you. It's not you turning inward. It's not you grabbing and gripping to get what's yours. It's to live outward. It's to love God and love people. It's depressing in there. It's joyful there, right? Don't turn to the darkness, turn to the light. This is what the giving tree, in a children's way, preaches the Jesus way of loving God and loving people. And so before we get to the passage I told you to turn to, if you can read with me, James chapter 3:1, I think it highlights this inward versus outward scope. James put it this way to a church community thousands of years ago. He said, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice." James, what are you saying? When you make it about self, selfish ambition, inward focused, you're going to find disorder and darkness, evil practices. The more and more you turn inward, the more and more the lights go out. So what's Jesus tell us to do in Matthew chapter 16? Bibles are open also on the screen for you. Jesus says there's a different way of living. And it's not me do me, not you do you, grab what's yours. He says it this way. Whoever wants to be my disciple, and a disciple is a fancy word for saying Christian. It's a follower of Jesus. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be a Christian, if you want this lifestyle upon yourself, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come into his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Jesus tells us there's a reward in the end. Right? For following Jesus, we'll follow him into the forever. There is eternal life. There is a reward. Here's the hard part. And this is true of us in a physical level. How much more true of us at a spiritual level? Physically speaking, we said this a couple weeks back, doctors tell us these brains don't fully develop, correct, until we're in our mid to late 20s for a male, female slightly earlier. You know the hard part of these brains not being fully developed? Is one of the last areas of brain development is the ability to think long term, like to see how your immediate choice impacts some future results. That part of the brain seems to be the last one that forms when we're in it. And so this is why we make some dumb moves early on in life, right? These brains aren't fully developed. We're not seeing how immediate choice is impacting us decades down the road. And I think we do that same thing spiritually. We live 50, 60, 70, 80 years of our life not realizing how immediately earthly decisions impact eternal results. We're not spiritually formed as much as we should be and need to be. Church, let me form these dots for you. That book tells you this life matters for that life. Live in light of eternity on earth. Make decisions here because they will follow you there, right? There is a cause and effect of what we're doing here and what we'll experience there. This life matters for eternal life. And so Jesus is trying to connect these dots too because he came from eternity. He knows how eternity works. He's trying to help us connect the dots of how can we make the most of this life that yields over to eternal life. And he says it this way, deny yourself. That's out of this world instruction, right? Especially in the land of America and the West, right? It's all about you and feeds you. Every commercial's pouring into you. Every algorithm's figuring you out. And Jesus says, it ain't about you. Say no to you. Deny yourself. It's good to tell yourself no. You hear that, church? Because you ain't going to hear that on Monday. It's good to tell yourself no. That's actually going to help you say yes to the right things in life, namely his things in life. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's denying to follow Jesus. Jesus, why would I want to do that? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Jesus is trying to point you to where life is. And here's the weird thing about life. The harder you squeeze it, the harder you grip it, the more it just exits from your fingers, right? You ever put some things in your hand and you're trying to hold on to it and it's just oozing out of it? And the harder you grip it, the more it's just getting out of it. This is kind of our mentality in life. We squeeze onto this life, we're going to find this life squeezing everywhere but here. The way to live before God to actually find life is to live open-handed. Allow him to pour some things and demand some things in an open-handed way is the way that you're going to find true life, eternal life. And some of you heard that only as a dollar and cents thing. This isn't money matters, this is life matters. Some of us are trying to grip too hard on our family. Our family's squeezing away from us. Our family becomes our God because we've been gripping them as a God in our life. There's a different way to live with family in mind. Some of us are gripping our schedule. It's my time, my calendar, my what? And we're not making meaningful moments anywhere because we're trying to squeeze so hard it's squeezing everywhere. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. He who loses their life for me will find it. To live surrendered. Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Didn't we sing that a moment ago? It's what a surrendered life looks like. God, I want you to have it, and I'm surrendered to you, your will, your way. Didn't Jesus teach us to pray, thy will be done? Not my will be done, thy will be done. It is a way that we are turning outward instead of inward. We're focusing on God's way instead of our way. Preacher man, spell it out a little bit more clearly. How do we go about doing this? Jesus was once asked in life, what's it all about? What's the number one command? If I can order my life in any which direction, what direction is it to take? And Jesus answered when he was asked this question, what's life all about? What am I aiming for? What direction am I going to go? Jesus answered this question not by, hey, you attend Malone University and you'll have it made. He didn't. Malone wasn't established then. Maybe he would have changed his answer differently had it been there, but I doubt it. It wasn't naming a college. Jesus didn't say, oh, you've arrived in life when you make this amount of dollar figure. Then you know you've made it in life. Or if you live on this street with this car and this house, you know you've arrived in life. Or if you're this title, or if people like being around you and you got this many followers on the social, you know? Like, he didn't answer in any of those terms. When Jesus was asked, what's life all about? What's the greatest commandment? What am I to be aiming for and walking in? When he was asked that question, he said twofold, love God and love people. And love is giving. Right? Think giving tree. It's living outward, not inward. It's not grabbing what's mine, but it's living surrendered. Let's just hear the words of Jesus for themselves. On an occasion, an expert in the law, he stood up to test Jesus and he said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus answered, or this man answered, in a terms of what he had read before in the Old Testament story, because Jesus didn't change his answer. God didn't change his answer. Loving God and loving people was always at the heart of where we find life in this giver of life's paradigm. And Jesus said these closing words as he said, love God, love your neighbor. Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Not think this, not believe this and you will live. Do this and you will live. Because what we really believe, we do, right? If we really believe this, then we start living like this. And no Christian, we don't do this perfectly. That's why we need forgiveness. That's why we confess. That's why we own up when we've made mistakes. But we're to live in this direction. We're to persist in this way of life. We're to ask God to grow us and cultivate in us loving God and loving people. Jesus said, do this and you will live. Not be a thinking people, but be a doing people. This is not inward focused. This is not, hey, me do me. Let me get what pleases me. I'll take a house. I'll take a boat. I'll take an apple. I'll take that. No, this is giving. Loving God and loving people. And graduate, I'll remind you, it's part of why we've gifted you with what we've given you, a devotional and a prayer journal. Those are to help you love God better. One of the ways that we love God is by learning about God. And so God's given us this book called the Bible that teaches us who he is and who we are. And so we get into this book, and we get into it a variety of ways. Sometimes it can be a devotional practice, and so the book that we gave you is a devotional practice to just start to form what it looks like to listen to God and receive from God. This book matters in our love of God, to understand who God really is, and not who someone down the street or what someone else posted says about God, but to hear God, from his book. And a prayer journal is because he invites the dialogue. He cares about your daily life. And so you can talk your daily life to a God who gave you life. And sometimes it's helpful to talk and map that out and then to relook back to it years later. And you'll find some things that he's pointed out in that maturation process with him as we just do life before him. And so we learn how to pray. We read our Bible. We get connected to a church community that's passionate about him. And life might take you to other places beyond Bellevue. I hope it doesn't. But it might, right? There's other churches in those communities that we need to plug into, a people that are sincere about growing in their walk with God that you need to grow closer to because they're going to help you in your walk with God too. They'll help hold you up when you feel like falling down, and then they'll keep you humble when you're a little high up too far, huh? We need this community that holds our hand to the fire, but also helps us in life's fires. And that's what a church is meant to be. It'll help you love God, plugging into a church like that, that believes that book and lives that book in those ways. And we got to love people too, because they're like everywhere. Like you'll have to work with them, and you'll have to work for them, and you'll have to live next to them. And you'll have to communicate to them, even on plastic portals, as you're plucking away. Like, they're everywhere. And that's a good thing. God made them and cares for them and maybe even has your life connected to them for something you can give to them in that relational way of loving God and loving people. You catching this? Jesus is saying this is what life's all about. And it leads to eternal life, too, from the giver of life himself. Going to land this plane in this way. I told you sermons would be a little shorter, okay? Not this week, next week. Going to close with a video that I think just spells out loving God and loving people well. And I've showed this video a number of years back as well. But there's a little acronym that comes with loving God and loving people and where self prioritizes. And it's the acronym JOY. J-O-Y. JOY stands for Jesus, others, yourself. I like that acronym. It helps me order life, loving God and loving people and where I fit into the pecking order. I first came across that acronym JOY by watching college football. It was 2019. It was that era in college football where Alabama was playing Clemson like every other year till the Buckeyes stepped in, right? But that's a different story. It's 2019. Alabama was playing Clemson yet again. Clemson won this one. And Dabo Swinney, as Clemson's coach, was shoved a microphone by ESPN, and he used this JOY acronym for his own self, Jesus Others Yourself. It was about a year and a half later, Baylor upset Gonzaga in college basketball, March Madness. Gonzaga was undefeated at the time. Baylor beat them. Once again, microphone shoved in head coach's face, Scott Drew, and he used the JOY acronym as well for the culture of that Baylor community. It just stuck with me. And so I like those videos. I tried splicing those videos together. We'll show it for what living and loving God and loving people looks like with that JOY acronym. So here are these interviews.
Dabo, there are a few coaches in any sport who show more joy than you do. How do you describe the joy of the moment?
Well, that's been my word all year, and I've tried to be intentional with that. And for me personally, joy comes from focusing on Jesus, others, and yourself. And, very few people, there's so many great coaches that are so deserving of a moment like this that never get the chance to experience it. And to get to do it once and now to get to do it again, it's a blessing. It's just simply the grace of the good Lord to allow us to experience something like this.
But tell us about the start to this game.
Well, I can tell you that our guys have been motivated all year. It's a player-led team. We're so blessed to have unbelievable upperclassmen and leadership. But we play with a culture of joy, and that's Jesus, others, yourself.
Culture of joy is not meant to be just a basketball thing or a football thing. It's the culture that Jesus has called his church to exhibit. To love God, to love people, and to find in the self-giving nature that, yes, it's going to hurt at points in this journey, but it really does lead to eternal happiness. That joy is a connection word with happiness. They're synonyms, right? Lasting happiness comes from living loving God and loving people. That's the joy-filled life. Can I remind you one more thing in that? There really is a giving tree that Christians celebrate. Usually marks their buildings, marks our calendars too, Holy Week. I'm talking about the cross. Like, Jesus doesn't call us to live this way because he hasn't lived this way. He's given all to save all, right? The true giving tree is the cross. It's what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. He never calls us to do what he hasn't himself done. And he gave all to save all with the faith to receive the gift that God has dropped into their lap. And so don't forget this giving tree. You're going to need his help. We stand under the waterfall that comes from the cross, and then we're expected to pour that out in loving God and loving people in all the right ways. This is where it comes from what he's done. And so don't forget the ultimate giving tree when we're called to be giving people, loving God and loving people, not just a graduate lesson. Amen? Amen. Pray with me, church. Lord, we're grateful for all you've given. How often we've been that immature boy, just asking, 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 receiving, 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 and never reflecting on really where true life, lasting life, eternal life is found. Help us, if we're in the middle of that ask and request, to reorient and to remind what a sacrificial lifestyle looks like, what it looks like to love God and love people in all the right ways, to not just get what we want, Lord, but to do it in your will, in your way, to finally learn to pray, thy will be done rather than my will be done. Oh, Lord, help us with that journey and to discover you in that journey. Lord, help your people to truly be those kinds of people in the places that you're planting us. Help us to be that witness that's not self-absorbed, but it's looking outward and otherward, Lord. Not to be so self-focused that life loses its focus, but to be God-focused. Lord, we pray for that. We need that. We're asking that you lead us in that. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus, the one who can lead us in this. And his people said, amen.